always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine, lovely, really hot where I live Thursday afternoon by you guys, riding solo here because we simply have so much to get to. ESPN, more specifically, Dave McMenamin dropped an article today outlining Luka Doncic's expectations. We have heard specifically from Luka Doncic on some of those expectations. He also hit on the Austin Reeves and LeBron James situations. So, yeah, here we stand. according to ESPN, Luka Doncic wants an A-list center. At least according to ESPN, sources close to Luka say that this is the summer that the Lakers told them all about, which heavily implies that they better, meaning Rob Pelinka and his still very small front office, are expected to make good on those promises. And so we'll see to what extent they're able to and what is riding on whether or not Rob Pelinka pulls this off and turns the Lakers into the kind of contender that Luka is expecting them to be. So there's a ton of meat on this bone here today. We're going to go ahead and roll through some of what I found most significant from that article. Then obviously over the course of the show, if you guys have any questions or comments, hit me with them in the chat. And I will get to as many of those towards the tail end of the show as I can. I am doing all of this while the charcoal kind of preps on my back patio. So hopefully my house doesn't burn down while I'm recording this. Let's go ahead and dive on in. After a quick reminder to please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show as well as notifications for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. Please use promo code HMA at Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and make a $5 lineup of your own. And Prize Picks will hit you with $50 worth of free lineups to be able to play around with there on their app. And by the way, like there might not be any basketball or hockey, but there sure as hell is baseball. The World Cup has been a lot of fun to use Prize Picks for. And hit me, show me your wins and your losses so we can celebrate or commiserate all together as we roll through what I think has been a really fun World Cup so far. All right, let's get out of let's get out of corporate speak mode and dive on into Luka Doncic's very clear requests. First and foremost, let's even before we get to the leaks from people close to Luka by way of Dave McMenamin of ESPN, let's again remind you guys, Luka Doncic in an interview said he wants a rim running, you know, hard rolling center to run pick and rolls with this year. And that is in and of itself, I think, the greatest clarifier of what we can expect from Rob Pelinka this summer, right? Right when Luka Doncic got there, he told Rob Pelinka, I think I play best with a rim rolling center. And Rob, whether you want to believe he intended to keep him or not, went out, traded for Mark Williams, and at least for a brief little second there, appeared to appease that demand. This, by the way, is how Rob Pelinka operates. He is very much a partner with the team's superstar, when it was LeBron James and LeBron was asking for playmaking, Rob went out and brought in a clown car of combo guards. When it is now Luka Doncic, who is saying that he wants a certain type of center and a certain caliber of center, same thing can probably be expected of Rob Pelinka. And I also think, and Pete has made this point on the show here as well, and I think it's a point worth repeating, that is at a certain point, Rob has to also be able to think for himself. And if there isn't value out there with this specific type of center, he needs to be able to improve the roster to such an extent while remaining flexible enough to pounce on whatever opportunity to bring in that kind of center. But this can't be the kind of partnership where it's like you say, Luka says jump and Rob asks how high, because there's also a cynical aspect to that type of partnership where if the Lakers do go out and sign Walker Kessler to a $35 million a year contract, Rob will be right there to, take the credit for acquiring Luka's center, the type of defensive anchor and rim rolling center that Luka said he wanted and that is now leaked and publicly out there in the public domain that Luka wants. And if that works out, I'm sure Rob will stay front and center to continue to celebrate that acquisition. But if it doesn't work out as it didn't with Russell Westbrook, you can expect Rob to, fall back a bit, not do very many other public speaking engagements, not take pictures with Walker Kessler to the same extent that he takes pictures with Luka. And he and Jeannie and the Rambi and the Lakers organization will leak to the people who they choose to leak to. Just a, quick reminder from time to time. Look, Luka said he wanted a center. There were only so many centers on the market at the time. We went out and got the one that we thought was best. Yeah, that guy was kind of expensive, but it didn't work out. And that darn Luka, and that's why I want us, like, this is a point that I've been hammering home about Rob in this front office for a long time now. I want to know, like, what the front office's vision for this roster should be. I want to know what Rob's basketball ideologies are beyond combo guards. And by the way, in that same article, we got a slew of combo guards, according to Dave McMenamin, that the Lakers either are or could be interested in on the unrestricted free agent market. And it's like, why? at what point do we get to see a return to the 2019-2020 build where it was defensive-minded guards and it was defensive-minded wings and it was, physical toughness and gritty, role players and stuff like that, rather than scoring guards who you hope you can squeeze some toughness out of? Like, maybe Rob has kind of told us what his basketball ideologies are, and I don't really want to listen to him because I disagree with him. That's also a possibility here. But first and foremost, before we even dive into this ESPN article specifically, Luka has made it very, very clear what he wants. I am of the expectation that Rob Pelinka, based on his prior actions, will meet that demand to one extent or another. It's just a matter of who they acquire. We went through in yesterday's episode a list of centers who I think make sense and are available and are realistic acquisitions. We just got James Dolan today throwing water on the Knicks already taking place parade, saying that the Knicks are not going to go into the second apron to keep that team together. That makes Mitchell Robinson likely available. I think that there are going to be some centers out there that the Lakers can bring in. There are going to be some options that Rob Pelinka can work with here and can, work to acquire all at the same time, so as to give himself that much leverage with any one in particular. And, we'll see which center the Lakers walk away with. But I would probably say, based on Luca's own request, you know, that which is out there in the public domain, and now this reporting, that that is step one to the Lakers offseason. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into this article itself. This is a direct quote from it. Quote, this is again from Dave McMenamin. Quote, Doncic is spending the summer in Slovenia with his daughters, Gabriella and Olivia, but sources close to him told ESPN he is in constant communication, unquote, with Lakers president of basketball operations and general manager Rob Pelinka and coach J.J. Redick. Coming off a season in which he led the league in scoring at 33.5 points per game and finished fourth in MVP voting before a grade two left hamstring strain sidelined him for LA's postseason run, Doncic is finally healthy as he begins his offseason training. They've specified in this article and then again on the air on ESPN that Doncic was fully healthy around late May or so, which, you know, to those of you who were hoping maybe just maybe he would be able to play if that OKC series extended a little bit further, that, you know, shines an important light on that possibility, meaning that it was not a possibility. McMenamin goes on to again remind everybody that Luka asked for a center right when we got to LA, right when he got to LA. And then, you know, went on to talk about the centers currently on the roster, DeAndre Ayton and Jackson Hayes. Says Ayton has that player option that he's going to make his decision on. Jackson Hayes is in line, according to McMenamin, for an increase in pay. I think Hayes in particular is somebody who gives the Lakers some extra flexibility depending on the type of contract that he signs. He made just above the the veteran minimum last year, and his cap hold as a result of that is really small. It's probably smaller than the contract he's eventually going to sign. And the Lakers could sign him to like a 2-year, I don't know, 20-ish million dollar a year deal, with the second year being partially guaranteed. That gives Jackson a big pay raise. It gives the Lakers a trade chip if that second year is not guaranteed and it becomes essentially an expiring contract that they could potentially use in trades at the deadline. Just something to kind of keep in mind there with Jackson. With Ayton, right? He did outperform his $8.2 million contract last year. When I ask people about Ayton and what his market might be, there is that kind of reluctant, yeah, you're right, he did outperform the contract, but da 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 da. And the but, I think, is really important here. Pause. That is a really important aspect to like how he is still perceived. Like, yes, Ayton did go a long way, I would say, in kind of recuperating his image publicly and around the league to a certain extent, to the point where I think it is within question whether or not Ayton is going to opt in or out. I'm kind of surprised by how many people have told me that Ayton opting out is a real possibility. Going into the summer, I would have thought that he was just going to opt in. But yeah, there is a sentiment around the league that Ayton could opt out and look for a deal maybe for at or around that number with an extra year attached to it. If he is brought back at roughly that same number, I do kind of wonder what that would mean for Jackson. Basically what I'm trying to say here is I think it's going to come down to if Ayton opts in, Jackson will be asked, would you be interested in a third string role or would you be interested in competing with Ayton for the backup job? And if Ayton opts out, then I think his Lakers days are done and the Lakers would be looking to acquire a starting caliber big, have Jackson as their backup, and then acquire like a floor spacing center for the third string gig, or for like a curveball big, or even draft a center at 25 if they don't use that pick to acquire the starting caliber big that I mentioned a second ago. So that seems to be how, like, at least the backup and third string center jobs are going to go. And now it's just a matter of which starting caliber big Rob Pelinka is able to acquire. And, you know, I thought that, like, the money quote in this article was the one here at the very end of the first, like, section of it, which is a quote from a source close to Luca, who said, quote, Luca wants to be a championship yesterday. I'm guessing that meant wants to be on a championship team yesterday. Ever since the trade, they've always told us summer of 26. We'll show you in the summer of 26. So we are excited that the summer of 26 is here, end quote. And I think that is, I think that's, that tells me a couple of things. That first and foremost, I think that that signals to me that Rob was probably approached by Luca, you know, about improvements to last year's roster, and was probably, you know, maybe even presented some potential improvements to the roster last year to Luca and his camp. And then said, but by the way, if we do this, it would cost us some flexibility in the summer of 26 when we feel like we can fully recalibrate this roster to the extent that you are actually looking for here. And so that, like, that quote tells me not only is the pressure on this year, but that tells me that there have been conversations in the past that Rob and that and the Lakers front office have you know, maybe been asked, hey, could we go out and get this guy? Could we maybe use this pick this year? Could we do this, whatever? You know, maybe even dating back to last summer or last trade deadline. You're just kind of wondering, like, all right, what can we do here in making this team better? And I would actually, while I'm, you know, talking through this in my own head, I would actually point back to last summer when, remember, the analysis, at least on this channel, from that year's you know, transaction cycle at last summer was like, yeah, the Lakers did good given the guardrails that they placed themselves on, right? And I think that you know, that wound up being very true. They had a good enough team to improve, but it was still a flawed enough team to not really have a chance in the second round of the playoffs, and probably wouldn't have had much of a chance even if Luka played in that second round series, right? So I would imagine that, you know, Luka probably went into last year thinking like, yeah, this is a pretty good roster. I think we did all right given the constraints that we had to work under, that Rob Pelinka wanted to work under. And the constraints that Rob wanted to work under were made clear to Luca, with 26 being the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. So, and then I would imagine over the course of the season, Luca and his team and LeBron and his team and Austin and those three guys probably put their heads together, maybe even on a golf course, and probably talked about, like, yeah, we kind of wish we had a better center, you know, and maybe talked about some potential other tweaks and additions to the roster that they would have liked to seen made at the deadline, but we're probably told, and Luca, that is, was probably told, look, guys, anything that we do now might put into question what we're looking to do in the summer after LeBron's contract comes off of the books. And Luca, who, by the way, had said after last year that it was really nice playing with LeBron and it was really nice playing with Austin, you know, Luca might have looked at last year as a real opportunity that may have been squandered while waiting for 26. So All of the stuff that we've been talking about here on this channel about how, like, all right, if you're going to be really focused on 26 and you're going to kick the can to the extent that you have to get to the summer of 26, well, then you had better actually make this work. And that's the part where I think Luca is now kind of looking at this saying, like, all right, you told me that this was the summer that I needed to wait for. You better execute, right? And executing starts with the center position. So also worth continuing to remember, DeAndre Ayton and Jackson Hayes are both Bill Duffy clients. So I would imagine one of those two guys is back for that reason as well. And whoever isn't back with the Lakers will be, will probably be put in a pretty good position by the Lakers to continue to, have an opportunity at staying and thriving in the NBA. So, yeah, I thought that quote about how, like, hey, we've been waiting for this. You told us to wait for this. Now we're here. You'd better execute. That to me was about as close to crystal clear, outright pressure on the Lakers front office as I think we're going to get. And by the way, this doesn't need to be nefarious. Like, this doesn't need to have any ill will associated with this. Like, this honestly is pretty straightforward stuff, right? There's a reason we've been talking about the summer of 26 the way that we have. Remember, the Project 2026 was a whole freaking thing last summer. And just as frustrated as we were watching a team that we knew couldn't viably or realistically compete for a championship, despite having LeBron on the roster, despite having Austin at the discount that you had Austin, and despite having Luka Doncic at the relative discount that you had Luka Doncic at, like, those frustrations that we had, you can only imagine how frustrated the actual players are, being the competitors that they are, right? Luka went from competing for championships, Western Conference Finals appearance, actual finals appearance, to now getting to the Lakers and being told, well, I know that you're in your prime, but, like, we really only have the assets to maybe make a run at it next year. And so, like, if you're Luka and you're in the middle of your prime and you have done all of this work on your body to maximize this window of your prime, you're probably going to be looking at Rob Pelinka saying, like, all right, fine. Here we are. Now let's fucking go. And I think that doesn't have to be nefarious. It doesn't, like, I feel like pressure as a word there indicates, some ill will or some friction there. I just think it's healthy, a healthy reminder to the Lakers front office, and also maybe even a little bit to us as fans. Like, no, we know what you guys are expecting of us. You know, Luka, and he is very in tune with his fans as a basketball player. He might be saying to them, yeah, I know where we were a couple of years ago. I know where we weren't last year. I know that I want to get back there, and we want to all get back there together. And in order to get back there together, it starts at this position, according to Luka. And we'll see to what extent Rob is able to make that happen. Will it work is the question. I think it will at the center position. I don't think we're going to see Rob Pelinka go all in. I just don't, for one thing, unless it's Giannis, I don't see the player or players out there that I could see Rob emptying the clip for and going into a season without a first rounder at his disposal. Remember, he always likes to have one. That's why what he does with the pick that they have in this year's draft is a very telling signifier of what kind of offseason I think the Lakers are going to have, because as soon as you use that pick on a player, that means you probably only have one pick unless you're able to unearth another pick some other way. That means you only have really one pick that you could possibly use before you get into the range of going into the season without a pick in your back pocket. And I think Rob is very much, you know, I don't think we've ever seen Rob go into a season without a first rounder at his disposal. So I think that, you know, between now and draft day, I think we're probably going to hear an increase in noise about what the Lakers are looking to do. I know that there are a lot of people, because I tweeted out the other day that, or yesterday, that I thought it was disappointing that the Lakers don't have the assistant general manager who would be helping the Lakers with the draft. I think that is still disappointing. They could hire him while I'm on the air right now, or her right now while I'm on the air, and I would still be disappointed, because at the end of the day, you had weeks to fill this position, and now you're filling this position mere days before the draft. So I think that that is a bit of a miss by Rob Pelinka, and you know, having that miss and having this pressure applied to him by way of your superstar. Like, Mark Walters watching all of this, and I think that Jeannie Buss has like 2 or 3 years, including this next one, in which that she is still going to be in charge of the day-to-day basketball operations of the Lakers. And what Rob does this summer is probably going to be very indicative of how long beyond that time Rob will be kept on board, if he is actually able to survive that time in and of itself. So will it work? I think it'll work in terms of the Lakers will probably, you know, I think they'll probably say goodbye to Rui. I think they'll bring LeBron back at a, you know, feasible enough number to have some cap space available, and then they'll use that cap space on like a Mitchell Robinson or a Time Lord or, you know, a player of that ilk. And then, you know, maybe they would look to operate above the cap there and use, say, 25 and another pick plus Vando and Dalton to see if you can go out and get 20-ish, $20 to $28 million a year player, who either, you know, helps make up for the loss of Rui's production, or you bring in a wing who maybe fits a little bit better there. We'll see who that player would potentially be. And then that would leave one first rounder for Rob to work with going into the season. And that would, you know, technically speaking, appease Luka's desire for an A-list center. My buddy Kirk, quote tweeted the show a second ago, you know, joking that we better get to learn Daniel Gafford. That's a possibility too. I don't think he would cost a first rounder, and I think that would be something that, you know, Rob would maybe show a little interest in there. What's difficult for the Lakers is they don't have any second round picks in this year's draft. So maybe what they do is on draft day, they scramble to try to buy a second round pick and then either use that on the center that they would want as their third string option, or use, you know, the second rounder that they just bought on in a trade and you know, maybe to acquire like a Gafford type player. But yeah, it's a I guess maybe if you can get off Jared Vanderbilt's contract and acquire Daniel Gafford, maybe that would be something that the Lakers would see as worth. Maybe you get Gafford in a second in this case. Maybe that would be worth a first round pick to Rob Pelinka. I to what extent Luka would consider that enough would be interesting to see. But at the end of the day, like, will it work? I don't think Rob Pelinka is ever going to be pushed to the point of fully unloading the clip on a roster, especially not one with LeBron on it, I don't think. But I think that like he will be pushed by this sentiment? Probably. And I do think that he'll, at the very, very least, go out and bring a center that fans would be pretty excited about. Let's go into some of the stuff that we've been hearing recently on LeBron and on Austin. So I've been saying, basically dating back to last season, that I have always thought the likeliest scenario for LeBron James, if he was going to continue as an NBA player, was that he would probably return to the Lakers. And I've outlined my reasoning for it. I have gotten intel on the subject, and it has been, I've been very consistent on this front. And so it didn't surprise me at all to see Dave McMenamin report that the likeliest scenario here, at least according to the people that he is talking to as well, is that LeBron returns to the Lakers on a contract, probably. Now, I thought it was interesting that he just flat out said LeBron is not going to get anything close to the max from the Lakers. I think that is the first that we have heard anything that explicit. Even though we've been talking about like a ballpark here on the show, I don't think I've seen it reported that is going to be the case. But still, a contract to LeBron in the 20s. If that is going to happen, it would happen, I think, soon, so that the Lakers would have that much, you know, LeBron's cap hold would be off of the books heading into the draft. The Lakers, I think, if they do that, would then renounce Rui or ask Rui, hey, if you want to play on a championship team, you got to take something in like the 10 to 15 range. And if you aren't interested in that, if you feel like you can go get yourself a better offer than that, then best of luck, young sir. And I think the Lakers would move forward and use that cap space that they open up that way, to go out and get, you know, whether it's trade for Daniel Gafford into their cap space, or or signing a Mitchell Robinson or a Robert Williams into that cap space, or using an exception if you want to use an exception, that's kind of how you move forward there. And then, you know, as we've talked about, and as Dave mentions here, right, Bronny is already on the team. He has that partial guarantee for next year. I would imagine if LeBron is on the roster, the Lakers would then guarantee the rest of Bronny's deal. And I actually think Bronny could play rotation minutes next year. Maybe not as like a, you know, first or second stringer, obviously, but as like a third string, you know, or a fourth string break glass in case of emergency type guard. As we saw from him at the tail end of last year, right? I thought he filled that role perfectly fine. So I think he'll probably improve on what we saw from him at next year. And as far as the James family goes, I've been pretty consistent on this. I continue to feel this way. I would be very surprised if LeBron James isn't a Laker next year. Not shocked, right? I think, Dave McMenamin made sure to mention that the Warriors are a realistic second choice or second option or whatever, their second place in the race for LeBron. I think that serves to, you know, give Clutch a little bit of leverage there. They want it known that the Warriors are there waiting, so the Lakers can't just offer LeBron the minimum and hope to sign him to that kind of a contract. But I think that LeBron is probably back. The Lakers probably bring in an improved center. They probably negotiate pretty hard with Rui. And in all likelihood, as Dave kind of outlined, maybe Rui is on the outside looking in. The Lakers, according to Dave, want to bring back Marcus Smart, and they want to bring back Luke Kennard, both of whom, Kennard is outright a free agent, and Marcus Smart has that player option. So we'll see, like, you know, what kind of options those guys have. But I think that as far as, you know, what the Lakers can do for and what LeBron can do for the Lakers, I think if the Lakers basically, or if Rob goes to LeBron and goes to Rich Paul and goes to Clutch as an entire entity and says, hey, this is more money than you're going to get from Golden State. This is more money than you're going to get from Cleveland. This is more money than you're going to get from basically anywhere that you would actually want to play next year. It is not a dollar more than those teams are able to pay you. So it's not an offensive, negotiation tactic here from the Lakers. But I do think it's one of those things where they say, we want to work with each other. We want to continue this partnership and ride this thing out. And as you have been saying, and as we have been saying, we'd love to see you retire as a Laker. And I think, and as I've been saying, I don't think there is a version of the Lakers next year without LeBron on the team that is better than the Lakers were last season. I know there are a lot of Kobe fans in the Lakers fan base who have been waiting for the day that the guy who dared to get better at basketball than Kobe would, you know, finally be off their favorite basketball team. I just don't think that's very healthy. I don't think this is something that the Lakers can just take for granted, that they can just get better while losing LeBron James, especially in free agency. I could see if it was like a sign and trade type of situation where, all right, LeBron makes that same 20-ish million dollar a year figure. The Lakers sign him, trade him to Cleveland. Cleveland sends back Jared Allen. I could see there if you like bring back a starter, whether it's Jared Allen or Max Strus or whoever you want to talk about there, like fine. At least in that case, you take a step in LeBron's departure to replace some of what you're losing from LeBron's departure. But if this is just like a no, get out of here, you're not, and you never will be Kobe kind of a thing, like I just don't think that's very healthy. I don't think that's a very healthy way to look at this. And I've never felt very comfortable of, you know, look, I've told you guys, my mom is a Kobe stan. Kobe is also my favorite basketball player that I've ever watched. But like with my mom, she has always hated LeBron and never liked the fact that this dude is on the Lakers. So I know that that sentiment is out there. I think it's a very, very vocal minority. But the people who are always in this chat telling me, get this dude out of here. Lakers would be way better off without him. Bleep this dude. Bleepity bleep, bleep, bleep. Like, no, man. Like, if the point is to build the best roster that you can, that almost certainly doesn't involve losing LeBron for nothing. And it absolutely doesn't involve losing LeBron for nothing to a team in your own division that already has Steph Curry that is basically on the mat, right? Like if you let LeBron walk, let's just even play this out from a game theory standpoint. If you let LeBron walk, the Cleveland Cavaliers are playoff frauds, right? LeBron goes there. Now all of a sudden they're a legitimate finals contender that you might have to meet in said finals. You want to play against LeBron in a final series when he has that chip on his shoulder? You let LeBron go to the Warriors. The Warriors also very much on the mat, right? This team, this Warriors team is just, just like the Giants, hilariously. But like the Warriors are hopeless right now, right? They're even, I saw there was a report, I forget which publication had this report, but apparently a Warriors front office executive is on the record, albeit anonymously, saying that, you know, the time to go all in was a few years ago, but we can't do that now. If I saw that, I would lose my at all like ever loving mind, because like, yes, you should have gone in forever ago and given Steph Curry a much better chance at winning a championship between then and now. But you didn't. And now you can't now use that as an excuse to like not do good by your franchise superstar. But like while all of that is going on and while they're hoping that like Kristaps Porzingis and his immune system gets figured out between now and next season, and while they're hoping that Draymond Green has anything whatsoever left in the tank and he isn't too focused on his post-NBA and media career, like, and while they're hoping that Jimmy Butler can recover in time to be ready for at least a part of next season, like, you can't then just gift wrap them LeBron James, because guess what that does? All of those things probably go in the Warriors' favor at that point. So I'm of the opinion that in a vacuum, I want LeBron James on the Lakers from a pure talent standpoint. I really, really enjoyed, and at some point, I'm going to do the LeBron season review. I really enjoyed LeBron's season this year. I really enjoyed that he was able to, at that last like third of the season or whatever it was, he was able to basically say, you know what? All right, Luka, this is your team. Austin, this is your team. I'm just going to focus on the things that you guys physically cannot do. And he did those things, and the Lakers went 16-2, and they looked really effing good. And I think if he focuses himself to do that stuff for an entire season, and he pulls that off, then the Lakers are immediately a legitimate finals contender, given that they make the other improvements that we've been talking about. But if not, if LeBron is gone and he does those things for some other team, the Lakers would like very, very quickly regret the way that they handled those negotiations. All right. Nobody is talking about LeBron at the max. It says it explicitly at the in the article. Nobody is offering anything close to the max, JS 3300. You don't even have to read. I'm saying it to you. It's in the 20s. What are we doing? Oh, thanks for your input, LeBum. Like, what are we doing here? Why are people fans like this? I know I'm not like it's probably not in good taste to tell people how to fan, but if your basketball team, if you're a Lakers fan and you want your basketball team to be good, in what fucking world doesn't that involve a LeBron James who just had the season and the series against Houston that he just had? In what world is that like, is that a thing? Like, $20 million a year for LeBron James, and Lakers fans are like, no, I would much rather have, I don't even know who you would rather, Tobias Harris. Fuck out of here, Tobias Harris. Like, what are we doing? I would rather have Landry Shamet. Did you see him in the finals? What? Sorry to Landry Shamet and Tobias Harris. You guys didn't deserve those strays. All right, let's talk about Austin Reaves really quickly before I go off and cook this pork loin. So, McMenamin again echoes that the Brooklyn Nets could potentially be interested in Austin Reaves. They are seen around the league as the team most likely to throw Austin the bag. I saw Mike Scotto. I think he reported this for Hoops Hype is who he reports for. He reported that the Hawks are considered unlikely to do all of the things that they would need to be able to do to throw the kind of bag at Austin Reaves that would lure him away from the Lakers. He also went on to say that Detroit would have to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Yossi, our friend Yossi, was able to also detail that on his platform, the Third Apron, about like everything Detroit would have to do to acquire Austin Reaves, and neither of those guys consider that likely. I've heard a lot of the same. That literally only leaves Brooklyn, and I'm not here to, you know, throw water on Austin Reaves' camp's attempts at getting themselves the bag. They deserve the bag, but if and you know, even with Brooklyn, they just acquired like four ball handlers in last year's draft, and maybe they don't believe in any of them, which I kind of get. But like, let's say they don't believe in any of them, and they're basically saying, "All right, what we're going to do is acquire Austin Reaves. We're going to keep Michael Porter Jr. We're going to be like a middling playoff team next year." And if one of those guys pop, then we can then be flexible enough to, you know, either move Porter Jr. for and draft capital for the kind of acquisition, you know, a superstar to really help the team take the next step. Maybe at that point you move Austin Reaves, right? If one of your or one or two of your ball handlers really pop, maybe you move Austin in the draft capital to go out and get whatever player you need to help your team take that next step. But like, it just sounds like a lot of ifs in the hypothetical that, where you're like basically trying to convince yourself that Brooklyn is the team that would throw Austin the bag, and maybe it's real. I haven't heard that it isn't, you know, explicitly. But I also just myself thinking out loud am somewhat skeptical of this. And I don't, now that all of that said, I do anticipate that the Lakers would work with Reeves and his camp in good faith. They are very aware, the Lakers are, of the kind of discount that they have had Austin at basically his entire career. And they know that Austin is looking to get paid and make good on an incredible first chapter or so of his career, to the tune of generational money, where his grandkids, grandkids, grandkids would be perfectly fine. And I think that, they're both sides, I think, are going to work together. I don't think this features like scare tactics involving the Brooklyn Nets to the extent that we've heard it. They just don't make a lot of sense. The noise that I heard initially about Atlanta has subsided significantly. I think they got some sticker shock and you decided to start focusing on some of the people that they have internally. I think they want to bring back CJ McCollum instead. And unfortunately for Austin, the market kind of sort of dried up around him. And now if the Lakers fuck around here, they could find out to the tune of Austin signing a shorter deal with the Lakers to hit the free agency market again at a time where maybe more teams would require his services. Maybe Austin, you know, if the Lakers lowball him too heavily, Austin and his camp say, you know what, fine, we'll just take whatever we have to take from Atlanta so that Austin, or not Atlanta, but from one of these other teams, whether it's Chicago or Brooklyn, so that Austin can be that team's primary ball handler and kind of show everybody what he is capable of if he is put in that role and the paydays that come with that production. I do think that the Lakers can't be heavy-handed here. I don't anticipate the Lakers to be heavy-handed here. All that said, I do think that the Lakers have a little bit of leverage here. And I think that this could lead to, at the very least, a structure of a deal, even if it is like the 5-year, $200 million total contract. Well, that would, I think, at the very least, be structured in a way where it like descends in value, and the focus would then be making it as tradable as possible, and both sides walk away from this thing very happy to continue their partnership. But I said earlier, I wouldn't be outright shocked if LeBron was not a Laker. I would be surprised if LeBron is not a Laker. I would be outright shocked if Austin Reeves is not a Laker next season. All right, let's go ahead and roll through this. Make sure I didn't have any super comments here. Kristen Lee, a member of the channel here, which, by the way, if you guys want to become VIPs, we appreciate that as well. I mean, it is not a secret that the Lakers need a starting center. All the good teams have one or two A-list centers. The Lakers have zero. Jackson is a great backup. Yeah, I think that the league and the sport has moved back into the direction of size and physicality. I think teams have now learned how valuable it is that centers can generate extra possessions and limit the other team's possessions. And also, obviously, you know, contest some of the most valuable shots in the sport, that being shots taken at the rim. And if you have a center who can do all those things and also space the floor, you win championships, right? Like the Knicks just did. So I think that this is part of why I think that it would be smart of the Lakers to acquire two centers that they really believe in this summer, especially if they lose one of DeAndre Ayton or Jackson Hayes. But yeah, if you basically go into next year and it's like, well, maybe Time Lord stays healthy and maybe we see what happens with DeAndre Ayton, that would make me kind of nervous. You know, maybe Vucevic is playable. That would make me very nervous. So, yeah, I think, but like going back to like the central point of the show, Luka is like you're saying here, Kristen, Luka stating the obvious. I agree. He needs a legit bona fide potential all-star. Like that's what I would say. The kind of center that the Lakers should be looking to acquire this year should be in the running next year to make an all-star team. Maybe not start on one. You know, he would be like a bench player on one of the all-star teams, but that's the caliber of center I think the Lakers need as their like floor for next year. Or at least I would say median. And we'll see to what extent Rob is able to do that. All right. I believe that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Thank you, everybody for hopping on and hopefully hitting that like button, hitting that subscribe button, turning on notifications, all of that good stuff. I am going to hop off here. We have Pete coming on tomorrow before Team USA plays their game in the afternoon. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you on the other. Have a good one, everybody.